Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning because you have accepted us to be in your presence as we hear your word after worship, and your word is the light. Your word is everything we need. Spirit of the living God, as we say, as we stand here, we ask you to use us and talk to each and every one of us. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again. I want you to somebody next to you and ask them whether they have overflowing joy this morning. That was our song for praise. Turn to your neighbor and ask them if they have overflowing joy this morning in the presence of the Lord. Because the Bible says in the presence of the Lord there is joy, there is peace, and there is any other thing we need. We are grateful to God this morning that we are able to speak on his behalf, and we thank the church that has given us this opportunity. Maybe for those who may not know me, my name is Jalas Muindo Mayele. I'm one of the church elders for Gomaville, and it's really a privilege that we have that we can stand and say something on the behalf of the Lord. We are going to read two portions of scriptures from the Bible, and I will kindly ask you to stand up again as we honor the word of God. We have the reading standing up, and the first reading will be from the book of John, chapter 10. We will be going from verse 7 to 11. John chapter 10, we are reading from verse 7 to 11. The Bible says, I'm reading in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus said, I tell you for certain that I am the gate for the sheep. Everyone who came before me was a thief or a robber, and the sheep did not listen to any of them. I am the gate. All who come in through me will be saved. Through me, they will come and go and find pasture. Up to verse 10, we read, a thief comes only to rob, kill, and destroy. I came so that everyone would have life and have it fully. 11. And a good shepherd gives up his life for the sheep. From this we turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, we read from verse 3 through 6. Jeremiah 23:3 through 6, the Bible says, I will bring the rest of my people home from the land where I have scattered them, and they will grow into a mighty nation. I promise to choose leaders who will care for them like a real shepherd. All of my people will be there, and they will never again be frightened. Someday I will appoint an honest king from the family of David, a king who will be wise and rule with justice. As long as he is king, Israel will have peace and Judah will be safe. The name of this king will be the Lord gives justice. That's the word of the Lord. Let us remain seated. For the sermon of this morning, the church is going through a series of teachings about what are those benefits we have when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the particular topic for this morning is following Jesus, the path to abundant life. Following Jesus, the path to abundant life. Back in the years, and this was in 1923, 8 Americans met in a hotel in Chicago. And the purpose for their meeting, it was after this very important investigation in America in 1923. It was to choose and to see who are those wealthiest men of the United States in 1923. And this happened. There were 8 men who were selected and published in all the journals, in the media, in all the news in America, in the United States, that they were the 8 wealthiest men of America. And at that period, these 8 men were called to be the role model for children. Whenever an American would wish their children to be successful in life, there are these 8 men who were the role models that were to be followed. And at that period, 1923, the investigations showed up that the wealth for these 8 men was more than all the entire treasury of the United States. It means 8 people having more wealth, more money than the whole United States. I want to tell you something about these 8 men. Very quickly, the first one was called Charles Schwab, and this one was a president of the largest independent steel company at that time. The second one was Richard Whitney. This one was also a president of the New York Stock. There was Albert Fall. He was a member of the president's cabinet, very wealthy, very rich, and very popular. There was Jesse Livermore. He was a famous investor on Wall Street. There was Ivan Krager. He was the head of the greatest monopoly at that time, 1923. Leon Frazier was a president of the Bank of International Settlements. And then there was Howard Hobson, who was a president of the largest gas company in the United States at that period. And finally, there was Arthur Cotton, a wealthy wheat speculator in the United States of America, and that was 1923. But these 8 men, after the survey, they were said to be the richest men of the United States, and they were said to be the role model for children in America. But the question I want to ask this morning, and when I went through this a bit of investigation and survey, was like, were these people really rich? Remember, we are talking about following Jesus Christ as a path to abundant life, as a path to rich life. As I asked this question, I quickly was curious to discover if really these 8 men were rich enough. And wanting to know this, I wanted to know how they ended up their lives. And let me tell you something about how they ended. The first man who was said to be very rich, and that was Charles Schwab, who was a CEO of a very large company. It was said that he lived on borrowed money and died bankrupt. The second man, that was Richard Whitney, he was also a very rich man, but the way he ended, he served all the rest of his time in a maximum security prison at the end of his life. Albert Fall was the third. This one, because of many challenges of life and troubles and problems, it was said that he was put in jail, in prison, at the level that he was not able to be released from the level, and he was pardoned from the prison. He was sent back home. The only thing he could do, he went back to die because he was really at the end of his life. The fourth man committed suicide. The fifth also committed suicide. The seventh as well became insane with all the deprivations of behaviors, and then he finished bad. There was Arthur Cotton, who was the 8th man. It is said that also he died without any single cent in his bank account. And yet these are 8 people who were declared to be the wealthiest man at that period. And the government decided that all the Americans should have all their eyes focused on them, and these will be the role models for their children. But look how they ended. From the scripture we have just read, in comparison to this survey, looking back to what happened in 1923, I want to share just three priorities that will be a guideline as we want to live a life following Christ and live an abundant life. Because the confusion that we have is that the world is at the point that there is a total confusion between being wealthy and being successful in life. Praise the Lord. Being wealthy, if you look at the world, it is seen like possessing materials, having the finances, the richest finances of the world, that everyone can look at you and feel you are wealthy. But does this mean you are successful in life? The Bible, as we have read in John chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, Jesus identifies himself to be the gate through which, if we go through, we will be saved. And the key number one, the priority number one I discovered in comparison to the story I earlier told, is that being successful in life is, number one, having been able to go through the right gate. And this right gate being Jesus himself, if we refer to the scripture we have just read. This gate, being Jesus himself, leads us to our pasture. The same version is saying the same verses we have just read. When we identify ourselves, when we follow Christ in aim to live an abundant life, we need to go through the gate himself, and that is Jesus, who says that he is the gate, and whosoever goes through that gate will reach to his pasture. And the pasture declared here in the Bible, it is saying that when we go through this gate that is Jesus himself, he leads us to, if you read in the book of Psalms 23, it identifies this pasture as a green pasture. Praise the Lord. And a green pasture is a place where we find rest and security, which means the key gate to rest and security is Jesus himself. And when we identify ourselves as Christians, we need to make sure we have gone through this gate, because it is only this gate that will lead us to our destination, which is the green pasture that the Bible is talking about. So Jesus himself is the shepherd in the green pasture. The mistake we sometimes go through in life is sometimes we want to lead ourselves to a pasture that we don't even know. And we forget that there is already a shepherd who has opened us the gate, and that is Jesus. Praise the Lord. So don't ever go to the pasture where the Lord hasn't sent you. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble. You may be declared to be wealthy, to be rich. All the news can talk about you, which earlier saw in the story. But if you haven't gone through this gate, that is Jesus himself, you will not reach to the green pasture. Praise the Lord. But when you go through the gate, you will reach to this green pasture, and the Lord himself will be the shepherd with you there. You will find rest in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The second priority is accepting God to choose for you. Number one, you accept to go through the right gate. Number two, you accept God himself to choose for you. That's what he said in the book of Jeremiah we earlier read, which it says, I will bring the rest of my people from the land where I have scattered them. They will grow into a mighty nation. I promise, this is the Lord, I promise to choose leaders who will care for them. The second priority is accepting God to choose for you. And sometimes it's very difficult, because God's choice may not may come, but it will not be according to our expectations. You may maybe want to go right side, but God's choice will ask you to go left side. What does this mean and what will you do? But I think we should be able to do is to accept the choice that God himself makes for us. And the choice God makes for us will always be the best. It will be the best because him alone knows the good plan he has for us. Praise the Lord. You remember the story in the Bible, Abraham and Lot, when it happened, the time they had to separate. This godly wisdom came to Abraham and he asked Lot to be the first one to choose. And for Lot, as he chose, he just looked everywhere and identified a very beautiful pasture. And that was the choice that he took. But Abraham obeyed God's voice. He went according to what the Lord commanded him to do. What happened later? The troubles that came when Sodom and Gomorrah was burned, you will find that the choice for Lot was in his sight the right choice, but it did not escape to the fire. And Abraham was saved through this. So we should be able, in pursuit to living a life of abundance, to accept the choice that the Lord makes for us. Because his choice is the best, and he's the only one who knows the plans he has for us. We can have plans, we can have things, dreams, but it's only the only plans that will be fulfilled. But again, it takes us faith to be able to reach there. God even chooses, he sometimes even chooses us to go through difficult moments. But in those difficult moments, he will never abandon us. The story of Daniel and his friends is the illustration here. God can even accept you to go through fire. But in that fire, as it is his choice, he will be in the fire with you and you will overcome. Praise the Lord. God will accept maybe some troubles to happen. You know, the story that happened to Abraham and Sarah, his wife. He was promised to be the father of the nations. And the Lord blessed him. He promised to give him a son. And yes, it took long until he got too old enough. And he was hopeless that nothing will ever happen to him. But I think patience is also among the fruits of the Spirit should be our portion as a Christian. At a certain moment, in the book of Genesis, you will find that Abraham, who long waited for the promise to come, he decided, not him alone and his wife, to help God fulfill his promise. So please don't help God to fulfill his promise. It's God who helps you. Praise the Lord. Abraham tried to find a way out. Okay, I will help God to fulfill the promise. The Lord has earlier promised him to have a son. That was a promise of the Lord. But he was like, okay, it's taking long. Maybe what I need to do, let me find a way out. In pursuit to abundant life in Jesus Christ, accepting God's choice asks us also to be people of faith and wait and wait and wait until the Lord will fulfill his promise. They tried to help God out, but you know what happened after. So accepting the choice of God for our lives requires a spiritual maturity, and should God help us to be able to do that? Because only God's choice is the best. Our choice will lead us to destruction. Our choice will lead us even to the level where we lose the line and the understanding of the word of God. Praise the Lord. Following Jesus to an abundant life, it also asks us to develop intangible values, to have values, fruits of the Spirit that only the Lord can give. Praise the Lord. There are fruits of the Spirit that only God can give. That the wealth we have, the money we have, the fame we have will never, ever give to us. Praise the Lord. The story I said at the beginning as I opened this sermon, you find eight men, the wealthiest men of that period. They had all they needed, but what they missed is what is called intangible values. There are some values that wealth will never buy, and these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This is peace, this is joy, this is self-control. Don't ever ask God to come to be a blessing to you if you don't possess these fruits of the Spirit. Because this money, this wealth that you will get will be your way to destruction. It will be your way to perishing because you had something which is not really, according to you, is something very important because you have money, you can drive any car you want, you can buy any property you want, but if you don't have these fruits of the Holy Spirit, there will be no balance in life. Because one side only will weigh on you. Praise the Lord. I pray this morning that we may be able to understand that following Jesus Christ, if you want to live an abundant life, a rich life, it requires us to have these three priorities and knowing that it is only Jesus who can bring life, balance in life. Balance between wealth and the life we live. If we can have wealth, if we can be the wealthiest man of the world, if we don't have Jesus, if we didn't go through the gate he has showed us, if we don't accept his choice, then we will not finish well. Like these eight men we saw in the story at the beginning, you find they had everything they wanted, but what they missed, they were those God's intangible values, those fruits of the Holy Spirit. That even when you go through troubles, but having those fruits, you will be able to have self-control. Even when you are challenged in either way, having this fruit, you will be able to know that all things work together for your good. Praise the Lord. I pray that the Lord may be able to give us an understanding of this word and that his Spirit may continue reminding us this word. In Jesus' mighty name, shall we stand up and pray that the Lord may be able to empower us that as we walk through this life, the Lord will lead us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word that has come to us. Teach us, Lord, to live according to your word in pursuit to living an abundant life. Lord, help us the way through. What challenges we are going through in life, let us understand that you are the gate and your choice is best for us. And having the fruits of the Spirit, these intangible values that only you can give will help us in this spiritual walk we are through. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. May God bless you.